Jonah. To give you a second to get there, if you want to go to Matthew and hang a left, you'll find it pretty quick. But the book of Jonah in chapter number 4. I'm not going to preach on the life of Jonah, but again, just so you understand the text verse we're about to read, we'll get a running jump into it. We all know that God called Jonah to go and preach to the city of Nineveh. Jonah did not want to go. Jonah didn't want to go there. He didn't think that they deserved to have an opportunity for salvation. So he ran. He went the opposite direction. He got on a boat and he headed. And as he was heading there, a great storm arose. And all those in the boat that Jonah was on knew that they were all going to die if something didn't happen. So they started asking each other, and Jonah stood up and told him, he said, "The problem is me. If you want through this, you're going to have to pick me up and throw me overboard, and because God is doing this because I'm running from him." So they did. They picked him up and they threw him overboard, and then the sea was calmed, and God had prepared a great fish. New Testament says a whale that went and swallowed him, and he, for 3 days, was inside of that great fish. For 3 days. You say, did he? Is that really true? Absolutely 100% true. He lived inside of that fish. Now, it wasn't like your Pinocchio cartoon. He wasn't on a raft swimming around, all right? He would have been truly being digested, and that process would have begun. But he was inside that fish. Inside that fish, he repented. He asked God for a second chance. God gave him that second chance. He went to Nineveh, and he goes and he preaches. And when he preached, the entire town turns around. This great city, salvation comes to it. The people repent. They get right with God. And Jonah goes out and he throws a pity party because he didn't like people in Nineveh. And that's what we're going to read here in Jonah chapter number 4. If you found it, would you please stand and we'll read our scriptures in just respect to the Word of God. And then we'll pray and be seated. But in Jonah chapter 4 and verse number 1, it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before into Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of this evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah was in a bad spot, but what he said was true here about the Lord. And I want you to see this in just a second. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray that, Lord, you again would hide me. I pray that you lift up your Word today. And God, may the Spirit of God have complete control. I surrender myself to you. Lord, forgive where we have failed you. God, where I have fallen short, I want to be a clean vessel. I pray that, Lord, you please help us today. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. You see here in Jonah chapter 4 and verse number 2, Jonah said, "I knew you were going to do this, God. I knew that you would save them. I knew that you would forgive them. I knew that they would be okay if they turned to you because," look in the middle of verse number 2, "I knew that thou art a gracious God." He is a gracious God. It says, "and merciful." He is a merciful God. He said, "I know that you are a slow to anger." And praise God. Every one of us should stand up today and say, "Thank you, God, for being slow to anger." Yeah. And then it says here in verse number 2, that this next part is what I want to preach on today, "and of great kindness." Our God is of great kindness. He is a kind God. Now, we as Christians need to learn a little bit more about kindness. Amen. You know, I just taught in my Sunday school class, we're looking at biblical motivations for everything that we do. And we saw the very first biblical motivation today we studied is everything we do should be for the glory of God. The word glorify means to make clear, to reveal. So everything we do should make God more clear to people. Our life should glorify him. Our life should point people to Jesus. And if we're truly going to glorify God, then people should be able to watch us and follow us and see Christ in us. They should get a clearer picture of Christ by following our life. And then we studied ways the Bible says you can glorify God. And one of those was by our good works. We glorify our Father which art in heaven. So the reason we're motivated to live a good life is so that God can be glorified. The reason we're motivated to act good, talk well, and to be kind is because that glorifies God. You understand, if we as Christians go around being grumpy and yelling at everybody and complaining about everything, and I'm not saying there's not a time to speak up, and I'm not saying there's not a time to, you know, send back the steak when it's not cooked good. All right, that's fine, all right, but you can do it with kindness. Amen? You guys are awful quiet on me, all right? You're already not being kind to the preacher, all right? Be kind. Do things with kindness. So why should I be kind? Because the Lord is of great kindness. And if we're going to glorify God, we should too live a life of great kindness. I looked up definitions of kindness, and there's all kinds of them, but I love this person's definition. I wrote it down. It was not mine, but I thought it was great. Kindness is a language that the dumb can speak, the deaf can hear, and the blind can see. Kindness. It's more than just loving people and being nice to people. It's loving those more than they deserve. It's loving people who can't love you back. It's being kind to those who don't deserve it. A lot of times the world paints a picture of God who's always angry and mad. And there is God is a just God, and God does, you know, show forth his justice, and he will chasten. But I've had 3 children now that I've had to chasten and will in the future. But if I'm being a biblical father, I do not do it out of anger. Even chastening is done out of love, with kindness. We all ought to be people of kindness, because God is a God of great kindness. The world paints this picture of a God in heaven that's just ready to zap people every time you step out of line. Nope, you're wrong, right? And just an angry God, and God doing terrible things to this world. And all the time you're going to hear things like, why did God allow this? Every time there's ever a great disaster, every time there's ever a terrorist attack, every time there's ever some shooting, people all the time will instantly say, why did God allow this? Understand this, we all have a free will, and because of that, so many people choose sin. There are repercussions to sin. Unfortunately, it not only affects me, it affects you. I've never drunk a day in my life. I've never had alcohol. I've never had it to my lips, but I could die from drunk driving tonight. Not because I ever touched it, but because the world that we live in, it's sin-cursed. So because of the curse of sin, some terrible things we as Christians have to go through at times, because that's the world that we live in. It's not God's fault. People have chosen sin. And because of sin, there's sorrow. Because of sin, there's crying. Because of sin, there's hurt. Because of sin, there is weeping and separation. But praise God for all of us that are saved. Someday, all of that will be put behind us. Where there's no more tears, no more sorrow, no more separation. All these former things are passed away. Right now, you and I need to erase this picture, this phony picture that the world pictures of a mean God, and understand that our God is a God of great kindness. He's kind. We're going to use our Bible a lot, real quick, all right? Then we'll end up somewhere you want to go again, all right? But look in Psalm chapter 31. I tried to put these in an order, make it easy. Psalm chapter 31. I just want you to see this repeated throughout Scripture. If we had time, I could spend the next hour going through all the Scriptures, but we won't. Just look at a few verses with me. Psalm 31, and in verse number 21. Psalm 31 and in verse number 21. Psalm 31, 21 says this, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." He is a God of marvelous kindness. Look over in Psalm 117. Psalm 117 and in verse number 2. Psalm 117 and in verse number 2. I'll read verse number 1 while you're turning there. Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Psalm 117, verse number 2. Why are we praising him? For his merciful kindness is great toward us. It is great toward us, the kindness of God. Turn over to the book of Isaiah, more to the right. Isaiah chapter 54 and in verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 54 and in verse number 10. Isaiah 54, verse number 10 says this. Now the Lord speaking here, we'll see it at the end of this verse. It says, "For the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. That's a great verse right there. I'm going to read it again so you can amen better than you just did. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Aren't you thankful for that? Some people in this auditorium, maybe you've gotten a clouded mind towards the kindness of God. And I want you to understand this. The devil wants us to get blinded to that because he wants us to think bad about God. But our God is a God of great kindness, and God promised his kindness would never depart from us. Look over in Joel, a few more pages to the right. This will be a little bit harder to find, but we'll find it, and it's just a great verse. I want to read it. Find the book of Daniel. Keep going to the right a few more. Daniel, Hosea, Joel. The book of Joel in chapter number 2 and in verse number 13. Joel chapter 2 and in verse number 13. Again, talking about God's kindness. Joel 2:13 says, "And rend your heart and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil." Can I tell you something? God doesn't, you say, well, does God ever chasten? He does. He does. But he doesn't want to. Does he ever, is the wrath of God something that's real? It is. Condemnation, living under the guilt of our sin. Lost people live under that. Did you know what? It breaks the heart of God that they choose to live under that. Because he is a kind God of great kindness. Let's go to the New Testament, the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians in chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm thankful for the kindness of God. I'm thankful he is excellent in his gentleness and goodness. None of us deserve it. Amen. In Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Ephesians 2 verse number 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, who's he talking about? All of us who were once lost. Before we met Jesus, we spiritually, we were dead. Yes. But the day we got saved, he quickened us, or he made us alive spiritually. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look, verse number 1, but now go down to verse number 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Do you know all of us that are saved, you know what God wants to do every day in our life? He wants to show just how rich in kindness he is. He wants to pour it out upon our lives. Look at over in Titus, just another few pages to the right. Titus in chapter number 3. Look at Titus chapter number 3. Titus 3 and in verse number 3. Titus 3 and verse number 3 says this, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." That's the way all of us are born into this world, sinners. Verse number 4, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Praise the Lord, you and I were once sinners headed towards hell. We were heading there because that's what we were. We all fallen short of the glory of God. But aren't you thankful that God showed us his kindness?
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ came, and he died for our sins, and we get to go to heaven, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Why would a God do that for us? Because he is of great kindness. He is a kind God. When you understand how kind our God is, it's easy to surrender to that God. It's easy to say, "God, whatever you want," because you realize he's a kind God. Whenever you realize how kind he is, it's easier to trust in that God. No matter what I'm going through, I know my God's going to see me through it because he's a God of great kindness. There are some in the auditorium, maybe today you're lost, you're not saved. I want you to know he's a God of great kindness. So kind that he gave his only son for you so you could be saved. We didn't deserve that, but that's what God did because he's a God of great kindness. If you're saved today, going through a very dark time, a trial in your life, a physical ailment, whatever it may be, understand this, he's a God of great kindness. And though our trials on this earth may be real and hard, it's part of living in a sin-cursed world. We have a kind God who will see his children through it. He's a God of great kindness. The fact are there's many Christians, and I hope not, but I'm probably there are some in this auditorium today who don't see him as being kind. Don't see him as being rich in kindness because of what other people's done, because of what other people have said. But I understand that's not God. He is a God of great kindness. Say, well, how do I see the kindness of God? Well, we're shown in the Bible. Now, I want you to turn here. It's the last place we'll turn. Go back now to the Old Testament, to 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel in chapter number 9. Jonah said, I knew you would forgive. You're a God of great kindness. The psalmist said he's marvelous kindness. Paul said he's rich in kindness. Oh, preacher, I don't see it. Where do I see it? Look in 2 Samuel chapter number 9. Start reading with me 2 Samuel 9 verse number 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him what? Kindness for Jonathan's sake. For there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show thee what? Kindness of God. Anybody see that? David wasn't just going to show his kindness. He's going to show God's kindness. Amen. The kindness of God. So if you come here this morning and you're kind of, you know, blurry-minded about how kind God is, let's look at the kindness of God today, because here in this passage of Scripture, it's displayed for us. Amen? David said, I'm going to show the kindness of God. Now, if David said, I'm going to show my kindness, I really wouldn't have much of a sermon to share with you this morning. But David said, I'm going to show you the kindness of God. Well, what is the kindness of God? Let's look at it. Number one, the kindness of God is seen in the fact that he seeks us. He seeks us. Look at verse number 4. And the king said unto him, where is he? Back in verse number 3, at the end it says, and Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son who's lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? I'm thankful today the kindness of God is seen in the fact that he seeks us. He seeks us. Yeah. You say, he doesn't know where I am. Oh, he knows where we are. But he has come. Remember what the Bible says? Jesus said, this is my purpose. I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is the kindness of God. Because you and I don't deserve that. We don't deserve to spend eternity in heaven. We don't deserve that a God would even care about us like he does. But he does. He seeks us. Why does he have to seek us? It isn't that he's lost track of us, all right? He has to seek us because we have all fallen. Matter of fact, this was his problem here. Mephibosheth, who the story is about. Look back in chapter number 4. Just glance back at this in chapter 4. And in verse number 4, the reason why Mephibosheth was in the shape that he was. In 2 Samuel 4, in verse number 4, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. You know why? You know what had separated this man? You know why he had to be sought? Because there was a fall. He had fallen. He had fallen, and by the way, secondly, he feared the king. He feared the king. He was living in a forsaken world. The Bible says that he lived there in a place called Lodabar, which was a wilderness, which was a dry place, where there wasn't hardly enough to even live where he was at. But that's where he was at. That's where he was dwelling. That's where he had chosen. Why? Because he had fallen. Why? Because he feared the king. He feared him. The king said, "Where is he?" You and I, my friends, we've all fallen and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us in this auditorium, that's our testimony. We were born sinners. We did not sin and become a sinner. We sin because we are sinners. That's what we are. That's how we came into this world. In sin were we conceived, the Bible says. That's just what we are of our father Abraham, or our father Adam. That's what we inherited, that sin nature. We've all fallen, come short of the glory of God. And there are millions of people who are living this life in a fallen state, fearful of the king. Afraid of God. They don't want to consider God. And here, Mephibosheth had fallen and he was fearful. Well, everybody look at me. There was no reason for his fear. Amen. And I don't care who you are, whether you're sitting here today fearful of the king or not, you have no reason to fear. Amen. The king only intends good for you. Say why? Because he is a king of great kindness. And all he wants to do, and yet when we fall and we fear, we run out, and everybody, look at me, we live in a forsaken world. When we run from God, life is miserable. Life is dry. There's nothing there to keep us sustained. There's nothing there to give us joy and happiness. And we're just trying to live from day to day to day. And my friends, that's not what the king wants for you in heaven. God wants you to experience his loving kindness every day of your life. We read it there in the New Testament. He wants to pour that out upon you. He wants you to see. Go ahead and test it, he says. I am rich in kindness and grace. I'm thankful today we see the kindness of God and the fact that he seeks us. Amen. Number two, he doesn't just seek us, but he sends for us. In verse number five, then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. David sent for Mephibosheth. David said, I'm going to show the kindness of God. He sought him, and then he sent for him. How did the Lord send for us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his Son for us. Amen. God sent his Son for us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8 talks about that Jesus Christ came, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How did the Lord show his kindness to us? He sent for us. He sent his Son to be crucified for us. He sent his Spirit to convict us. In John chapter number 16, verse number 8, Jesus promised that when he ascended, he would send a comforter who would convict the world of their sin. If you're lost today, the Holy Spirit will tell you that you're lost. If you're lost today, the Holy Spirit will tell you you need Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you, there's no fear there. There is hope there. When the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you, that's the way Jesus and God works, because he's a kind God. I'm thankful the Lord Jesus Christ, as he lived upon this world, never tried to scare anybody into making a decision. He always gave them hope. He always gave them peace. He always gave them joy. And the fact is this, that God sent His Son to be crucified for us. He sent His Spirit to convict us. And praise the Lord, His sanctification changes us. Can I read to you a verse real quick? We already read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. You that were dead in trespasses and sins has He quickened. Listen to this verse in Colossians 2 and in verse number 13. And you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. When you and I, when Jesus Christ came for us, He not only died for us, He paid for our sins. The Holy Spirit of God calls us and convicts us. And the day that we got saved, all of our sin was nailed to that cross. It is removed off of our account, and we are hidden in Christ and covered by His righteousness. David said, I want to show the kindness of God. I'm going to show it in the fact that I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to send for Him. Number three, you see the kindness of God in the fact that King David, He spoke to Him. He showed the kindness of God. Look down there in verse number 6 in 2 Samuel there. When Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. In Mephibosheth's mind, David was going to kill him. Mephibosheth's mind, what can I ever do for him? I'm a crippled. I can't even be a servant. I can't even bring him a drink of water. This king is going to kill me. And he falls on his face and he's begging. Look what it says in verse number 6. And David said, Mephibosheth. He knew him. He called him by name. Mephibosheth just looks at him and says, Behold thy servant. Verse 7, David said unto him, what? Fear not. Fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He showed the kindness of God in the fact that he spoke to him. Everybody look at me, ready? He called his name, and he calmed his fears. We have a king in heaven that wants to do the same in our lives too. A lot of times when we get overwhelmed in life, we're so busy, just so full of anxiety and scared to death of what's going to happen. You remember whenever Mary came back to the garden after Jesus had resurrected, and he approached her, and she's just sitting there hysterical, and says, if you thought he was the gardener, and if you know where they took his body, would you please tell me? And what did Jesus say to her? Just called her name. When life gets a little out of hand, just be still. He'll speak your name. And He'll calm your fears. Because He's a kind God. So He sought Him. He sent for Him. He spoke to Him. And then He showed Him. So what did he show him? Look at verse number 7. David said to him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness. What did he show him? How did he show him kindness? Number one, we're almost done. Everybody follow me. Ready? Number one, he restored him. Amen. It says there, I will show thee kindness, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. He restored him. He restored him. Say, what do you mean, restored him? Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth? He was King Saul's grandson. He was of royal blood. Whenever Saul and Jonathan, Mephibosheth's daddy, was killed in battle, he had a fall. He became lame. He's living out there in the wilderness. Here he is, someone, because of a fall, he's now separated. He's living in a dry, thirsty land. But the king sent for him. The king spoke to him. And the king said, no longer are you going to be living in that dry land. You're sitting at the king's table again. And all that should have been yours, it's yours again. And I hope you're thinking spiritually with me, all right? You and I, we were created by God. But because of our fall, because of sin, it separated us and God. We lived our life in this dry, wicked world. But thank God for his kindness. That he sought us and he sent for us and he spoke to us. And when we just look in the same way that Mephibosheth said, I'm your servant. I hear you. I'm here. God restores us. The moment you get saved, if you look at me, you become a child of the king. Amen. You take your place back at the table. We just read it in Ephesians right now. And I'm not going to get into, I don't know that I can describe and understand all this. But right now, Shane Davis is sitting in this auditorium. Amen. Brother Reed are sitting in this auditorium. But they also, and you and I too that are saved, are seated with him in heavenly places right now. Right. We're with him. It's done. It's settled. You have been made a child of the king. We no longer have to fear that God. A God in heaven says we can call on him, Abba Father. He cares for us as a daddy does his kids. That's how God wants to be to us. Not some fearful God there. He wants to be your father. He wants to take care of you. He wants to meet your needs. He has made you his child. Amen. Kindness of God and the fact that he restored us. And David said, you have nothing to fear. I am restoring everything and you will sit at the king's table. You are now a child of the king. Not only that, but he rewards us. We'll keep reading there. It says, the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He bowed himself and said, who is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And the king called to Ziba's all servant and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. He not only restores us, but he rewards us. See, what are the rewards? David's showing the kindness of God. Amen. How does he reward Mephibosheth? All of his provisions. And he always had the king's presence. My God in heaven will supply all of our need. I didn't tell you he's going to make us all rich, but he takes care of his children. He takes care of his children, but greater than that, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We get to enjoy the presence of God. But I close with this. He shows him the kindness of God and the fact that he restored him and he rewarded him. But Mephibosheth asked a question. What's the reason? Verse number 8, he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Why are you doing this? David had already told him. That's why David didn't answer the question. He already told him. Verse number 7. David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. Why does God in heaven show such kindness to you and I? For someone else's sake. His own son. The king's son. Amen. He loved us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to spend eternity with us. Why does God show his kindness? Well, not one, because that's what God is. He's kind. But I'll tell you, we don't deserve it. But he does it for his son's sake. Ephesians says that we are to forgive others and be tender-hearted, forgiving others, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Our God shows us such kindness because the Lord Jesus loves you and I. And I'm thankful today to look at you and to tell you today that our God is a God of great kindness. And he has showed it to us. And the fact that he seeks us, he sent for us, he speaks to us, and he shows us every day through his provisions, through his presence, through making us his own child. You and I ought to be humbled by that today. You and I, by all account, every one of us in this auditorium that are saved should fall on our face and say, God, thank you for this. Thank you for your kindness. If you're here today and you're not saved, you have nothing to fear with this king, as long as you run to him, bow before him, and say, I believe in you. Behold your servant. I am yours. And if we'll do that, and everyone that has done that has found out the same thing, he's a great God. He's a great king. If the devil's trying to blind you to the kindness of God, the devil's a liar. Because if he can get you to doubt the kindness of God, then he'll make your life pretty miserable. Because the only reason we got to get up today and to face tomorrow, because we know we have a great God. And he's a kind God. Let his kindness be poured out on you. Let's pray. Father, Lord.